Hello, welcome to Biblicia.com. Now, this is not the gospel presentation, the formal presentation that we're working on to put in this section. Rather, the development of the website to accommodate a gospel page was done prior to getting the video done. So instead of leaving it blank for the next few weeks, you got me here in my study. My kids are probably going to knock on the door. The phone's going to ring. I don't know. Something might happen. But I want to present to you something of the gospel. I know it's sometimes creepy to come into somebody's home and look at them standing and sitting in a camera talking with you. But if you'll bear with me for a little bit, I hope to present something worth your time. Reading out of Scripture, Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. Reading out of the NASB version of the New Testament. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed, for the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, we live in an era and in an age where information is available at our fingertips on topics that normally most of us would never even come into contact with in normal conversation. We live in an era of an overload of information. This website is one of 10,000 that'll pop up in 0.004 seconds. If you Google Jesus on the web, you're going to find all sorts of resources out there. I know that. There's a cost to all of that information. Sometimes when you're bombarded with so much information, you honestly don't know where to go. It's like going to a smorgasbord and everything looks good and you don't know which to decide from. And consequently, so many people in my generation and younger than me are the products of getting part of the picture of the gospel, but not the full picture. What I mean is, if you were to come into a movie, let's say halfway through, and you miss the whole first half, you're not going to know in a lot of movies what is going on. You're going to miss so much of the plot, so much of the information. And the gospel that so many people have in our day is just like that. I witnessed to a young man last night, a friend of mine and I were witnessing to a stranger in a parking lot last night. And this young man, 20 years of age, grew up in Florida, not quite the Bible Belt, but like so many, had understood, could tell you, well, Jesus died for sinners, that He died on the cross for sin. And would tell you that, but his own answer previous about why he would enter heaven didn't center around Jesus Christ Himself. His answer, rather, was one of works, one of, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to obey the commandments. I'm going to try to be a good person and hope that those works will get me into heaven. That was his answer. Now, for a lot of people, we're just not used to talking about the gospel, and sometimes we can't articulate it and explain really what we mean. You know, if given a half hour, we might be able to. So that may have been the case with this young man, but oftentimes, most often, it is just a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of understanding of the gospel. What Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 3, and this great discourse on justification, which really is the subject of the book, justification being that pardon for sin, that if a person is in the state of being justified, then there's no condemnation, Scripture says. To those in Christ, there's no condemnation. And in this passage, Paul's talking about how that is true over Jews, Gentiles, all people in the world. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And what we find in Romans is this doctrine taught so clearly that it's not through works that we're forgiven, but by trust in Jesus Christ alone. By putting one's faith in Him, when that is true and genuine, then God grants the gift of forgiveness. It is a gift. It's freely given and to be freely received by sinners. But this young man, like most of you watching this video, I'm sure, We were standing in a parking lot. It was about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, so it was pretty dark out. And we were standing under a large light, you know, on the pole in the middle of the parking lot. And, you know, it's illuminating the area around us. Well, I used it as an analogy to this young man to say, you know, if you and I, if the three of us were standing here at, you know, 3 p.m. this afternoon having this same conversation, you know, or this same light above us wouldn't mean very much to us. If we were here at 3 o'clock, that bright shining light would not do anything. And the gospel is just like that in the lives of so many people, that they've heard about the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, that information shining like a light in the middle of a world that seems pretty hunky-dory and that we're pretty good people and we're doing okay, it doesn't shine very bright. You know, if you have just a lighter lit at midnight in a pitch black room, it illumines the whole room. You know, it becomes the light of that room. And the truth is that the world is very dark outside of Christ. It is very dark, and I want to prove it to you. When we read about the righteousness of God being manifest apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, it's talking about the New Testament's teaching about the righteousness God provided in His Son. Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, being slain, His righteousness, a perfect life of 30 years of obedience as the God-man, dies on the cross and offers that grace, that gift of pardon to those who would literally flee from the wrath to come, like getting in a raft saved from flood waters and come to Him alone to trust Him to remove their sin and to pardon them. So the Christian doesn't trust in his own goodness, but trusts in the goodness of another. That righteousness was revealed apart from the law and the prophets, but was witnessed by them. The teachings of Jesus did not destroy the law, but fulfilled them and brought new and wondrous revelation to the world about the righteousness of God. And I want to ask you a question, stranger, friend, whoever you are, wherever you are in the world watching this. Would you consider yourself to be good before God? Are you a good person? Because chances are that many of us believe good people, heaven, bad people, hell. It's just how it works. That is how our brain likes to think. And then categories of good and bad are sort of subjective. They're left open to interpretation. Your definition of goodness might be different than Adolf Hitler's, but you know, he can have his own. We're going to, you know, make our own. People, it's very comfortable and very safe to do that. But we are not the judges of heaven. We are not the one to whom we must give account one day. Scripture says, it's been appointed unto men once to die, but after that comes judgment. That's what the Bible teaches. How are you going to do when God judges you? The way you can know that, well, when Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, first of all, many people can admit that very easily. Yeah, I've sinned. I'm not perfect. Yeah, nobody is. You know, we always throw that out there. Trying to have safety in numbers as if God would have to change His righteous standard because nobody actually lives up to it, so you got to abandon that. God's not into mass marketing like that. He's holy and He's righteous. We are all guilty, and it doesn't save us at all. Strength in numbers is no strength at all here. But the way you can know how you're doing next to God's righteous standard, He's given you His law, the Ten Commandments. He's given them to you. Almost every great confession or creed of great Christian religions throughout history has spent great time speaking of each of the Ten Commandments to outline their usage to the Christian, why God would have given them, what they mean to us, what they don't mean to us, all of these things, because it is so valuable for us to spend time looking at God's holy law. If you read Romans chapter 7, Paul says that the law, he would not have known that he was a sinner unless he knew the law, the Ten Commandments. And he quotes them and he gives them all throughout Romans and other places. So the law is literally, as Galatians teaches, a schoolmaster that leads us to understand why we must be saved by something else. We cannot be saved by keeping the law. The law itself teaches us that. That's its design. That's its function. And I want to use that with you today. Very simply, you stand before God on the day of judgment. He is going to judge you by a standard of perfection. that perfection is revealed in Scripture. It's God's goodness and holiness that we all fall short of. But here's how short we fall. How many lies do you think you've told in your life? A couple thousand, you can't count. Too many. Sure, everyone watching this told lies in their life. That makes you a liar, if you've ever lied. Looking at the Ten Commandments, we're going to look at four, because I don't need to go into much theology behind them to explain these four. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? You ever disrespected or dishonored God in your life? Or used His name like the F word? Scripture, this is in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. You can read the Ten Commandments. They're reiterated in the New Testament, talking about the law. If you ever taken His name in vain, it's called blasphemy. Using His name dishonorably or shamefully. Have you ever stolen anything? Or taken anything that didn't belong to you? That makes you a thief. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that looking with lust is adultery of the heart. He said, you've heard it said from those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say, if you even look with lust upon a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. God looks at the heart, and He measures sin by the intentions and thoughts that no one else can even see. So if God judges you by a standard like that, how many have you broken? How many of God's laws, which are not little to Him, by the way, they're not just minor little thingies that, boys will be boys, no big deal. This is God's righteous standard, His law, that we've broken. You'd be a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, an adulterer. Jesus said, from the heart proceed such things. Your heart is the problem. God does know your heart. That's the issue. That's why you're going to be condemned. And if you are sickened or offended by that message, that God is going to see your heart and what He sees is the blackness of hell, if you're offended by that, it means you are not ready to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ at all. And you hate Jesus Christ. If He came teaching His gospel to you, you would crucify Him like those in the day when He was crucified 2,000 years ago. He says you're not a good person. Romans teaches us in this chapter that there is not one good. You read verses 9, 10, and 11, 12. This is the indictment, God's anthropology over all of humanity. There's not a good person on earth. And that's by God's standard, not yours and not mine. So you stand before God, you're guilty on the day of judgment. God should carry out judgment. If we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell. If we got what's fair, we would be in hell for eternity. Well, the gospel that we've heard so much of in our lives, it sort of takes on a new light when you understand it in the light of sin the way we're supposed to. Problem is, we got so many people today in information overload saying, well, Jesus would never condemn, Jesus was never offensive, you know, He made the gospel attractive to sinners. That's all stupid. Jesus rather would teach truth, not for you to judge whether or not it's true, but to proclaim it to those on the side of truth. Those on the other side, they're never going to hear it. You can't make it any more appealing. You can't make it attractive. It's impossible. You either got to change the message or just not preach it. He didn't care about that. He preached truth, and those who were humbled, those who were humble, would repent and come to Him seeking grace. And that's what is a proper response to the gospel. So you stand before God, you'd be guilty, you should be sent to hell for eternity. That's just the bottom line. That's the bad news. We have broken the law. We are criminals, we are outlaws, we are destitute from birth. As one preacher said, you know, we're not sinners because we break God's law. We break God's law because we're sinners. All of our life, we prove that in Adam, all men died. And our first father, Adam, and his sin and rebellion against God. You got a problem. And I don't care if you're watching this video in Australia or Ohio or China. You have the same sin problem that I do, that I did. And unless you are born again, excuse me, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, what are you going to do? on the Day of Judgment, I am boiling down to you 1,500 years of Bible teaching and a very simple message to just introduce you to the gospel. What are you going to do on that day? Well, you're not going to do good. I promise you that. I know God personally, and He has said you got some serious issues on the Day of Judgment. But if you will hear this truth, if you will hear the Son and respond rightly, then it will show so many things, and you will come to know so many things about Him and come to love those things about the gospel. So the gospel, meaning good news, is literally there is a way to have all of your sin forgiven. Past, present, future sin described in the Bible, God's written word, the inscripturated word of God, teaches us how we can have our sin forgiven. It's good news to people who understand they've sinned. It's bad news to people who think they're pretty good people and they're doing okay before God. God Himself became a man. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, becomes a man, lives a perfect and sinless life for you, for all sinners, perhaps for you, so that on the cross He could shed His blood as a propitiation, big word, as a sacrifice, a substitute for you. That He takes the wrath of God on Himself for a sinner, and God is appeased in His justice. The fine is paid in His blood. Literally, like a criminal in a courtroom whose debt has just been pronounced that he cannot pay. The judge says to the criminal, "You can't pay the fine, you're going to prison." Somebody else steps in the courtroom and pays the fine for him in full. The judge can receive the payment and say, "You're free to go." Just like that, Christ steps into the courtroom and pays the fine for sin. So that on the Day of Judgment, the righteousness that we appeal to, if you will, the righteousness in which we stand as Christians, is not our own. We can go free on the Day of Judgment because Jesus paid our fine in His life's blood. And then He rose again from the dead 3 days later, and God proved that the sacrifice He offered, as Hebrews teaches us, literally in the holy place of the heavens itself, was received by God and sin was pardoned. God passed over past sins in the world, forgiving them in Christ, so the saints of old were forgiven on credit, if you will, prior to Jesus' coming. And then the saints of today look back as they look forward all to the cross. This wonderful message of reconciliation that God, 2 Corinthians 5, 19-21, reconciled the world to Himself in Christ. That God made Him, Jesus, made Him who knew no sin to become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It's about righteousness. It's a simple message. And I don't pretend to right now be pumping you up and getting you all excited about something. The information that affects us here goes through here. You got to have the right information. And that's what I'm trying to offer you. You need to be forgiven. If you're watching this and you're a believer, then you know what I'm talking about. If you're watching this and you're a non-believer, you have no clue yet. But if you look at the law and you consider your sin, consider how much you need forgiveness. Just for a moment, on a tally of numbers, how many times have you broken the law? Just think of how many hundreds of millions of times, how guilty you are. I mean, it's not just a numerical problem. It's that you've sinned at all, and that's the problem. But what I'm saying is, even just showing the sheer number of transgressions against God's law can help us understand why we cannot save ourselves. We cannot call ourselves good people. We cannot hope that God is going to look past our sin as if it's a little issue. It's what defines you. Sin, if you're dead in it, is what marks you. It's what identifies you before a holy God. But the good news is that God is love. He is merciful. He has shown His love for sinners by dying on a cross. There is nothing more kind that anyone has ever done or could ever do for sinners. He has shown His great love. What do you do with the gospel? What do you do with the message of Jesus Christ in your own heart and your own life? I am asking you to consider it seriously. If you died today, and all the chips are cashed, man. There's no more time. You don't, maybe next year I'll get right, start going back to church, some junk like that. Just you right now in my study, I'm in your, wherever you're watching this, asking you, how are you going to do if God judged you by his law? It's not going away. The law, literally, Scripture says, like in Colossians 1, Colossians 2, that it stands as a witness against you, that it is hostile against you, that Christ must remove that, and that's what he did for Christians, as it teaches there, removed the hostility, the condemnation of the law that rests on the head of all sinners. The wrath of God rests on you if you're outside of Christ. So what are you going to do with this message? What are you going to do with this truth? I would invite you to the Scripture. Check out the Gospel of John, fourth book in the New Testament, a spiritual gospel, and ask yourself what you do with the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus is fully God. He is 100% God, and he is fully man, and is the only way to heaven. And the only way you're going to know him is through the Bible. This video is part of what God may be using in your life, I pray, to teach you, to bring you to himself. I don't know. But I pray you would give these things some serious thought. Consider your own heart. Consider your sin. But then think about the cross. And think about if God loved sinners that much, Romans 5, that God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Instead of thumping us, instead of just giving up on this world and letting us all go to hell, or scruffing it out 5,000 years ago and just calling it a quits, I'm just done with this rebellious people. Instead of doing that, he brought about salvation for an untold number that it will be in the heavens in the end. What are you going to do with that? Now, what are you going to do with the Bible and this amazing text? Go on this website to some of the other video and audio or articles. Go to the recommended listening list on in here. You can click on links on the main page next to the little scrolly picture banner thing. Click on those recommended listening sources. They're free videos and audios, 99% of them. And you can go and get material far better than this, than some creepy video with a guy in his study talking to you on a camera. Again, this is just a placeholder. We're going to do a much better presentation of this and talk to some people on the streets and pray something more engaging for you. But I've just laid out for you the gospel, that you and I broke the law. Christ came to pay the fine for sinners. And if you'll repent, it means acknowledge your sin and put your trust in Jesus. You acknowledge your sin and admit and understand by acknowledging that you have no hope in yourself, but put your trust in the living Christ, in the Savior. If you'll do that, then God will change you. He will birth you again and cause you to know truth. And the only way that's going to happen is by him giving you life. God gives life, and Christians just understand truth and come to mature and grow in that truth. So I invite you to contact me if there's any questions or comments you have here. Give these things some serious thought. Go to the Bible. Go to some of these sources and consider there is nothing more important that you have to do today. There is nothing more important that you have to do than to look at yourself according to the law and ask yourself, am I trusting in Christ or am I trusting in my own goodness? If you're trusting in anything other than Christ, Buddha, Muhammad, the Pope, any other worldview out there, you're going to come up short, because all it is a bunch of works righteous mumbo jumbo that men invent to suppress the truth and unrighteousness, but it's not the righteousness of the resurrected, perfect Son of God that he offers. Seek that. Seek to know him. Jesus Christ. He died. He was crucified. He rose again. Repent and put your trust in him, because there is a day coming when you will stand before God and give account. How are you going to do? Thank you for your time and your consideration of this message, and I hope to hear from you in the future. God bless you.